Thank you.
And with that, we're going to switch back to opposition and invite folks that are here to speak in opposition to join us at the podium.
Good afternoon, Senator Brenner, Representative Gramlich. My name is Heather Spalding and members of the committee. Sorry, my name is Heather Spalding. I'm Deputy Director of Maine Organic Farmers and Gardeners Association, MOFGA. We are opposed to LD 718. We're concerned about it rolling back the critical bipartisan legislation that stopped other states from using Maine as a dumping grounds. This bill would delay the ban's starting date by 2 years, which would result in an additional 400,000 tons of out-of-state construction and demolition debris coming into Maine. Maine citizens have paid for the use of Juniper Ridge landfill in order to have limited capacity for waste that cannot be recycled. We shouldn't import 16 40-ton tractor trailer loads of out-of-state waste each day just to accommodate Massachusetts' stricter waste management laws. A big reason that Maine called a halt to the practice of importing construction and demolition debris was because of the environmental justice impacts on the Penobscot Nation and local residents near the Juniper Ridge landfill and the Nine Dragons paper mill. This community has to deal with the odor and air pollution from industrial operations and leachate contaminating the Penobscot River. We must do better to ensure that we prevent further harm to the Penobscot Nation. One of MOFCA's top legislative priorities this session is defending the progress we've made with addressing PFAS contamination. Many of our farmers were directly impacted by the legacy effect of spreading sewage sludge on farmland, and some have lost their livelihoods and live with the uncertainty about the health due to the high body burden of PFAS. Landfilling PFAS contaminated sludge is not a great solution to the sludge crisis, but it's the only one available to us at the moment. Casella's argument that it needs out-of-state waste to stabilize the landfill sludge is unacceptable to us. Maine must do better, and we must hold Casella accountable for managing the waste without importing waste from Massachusetts. We understand that other materials from within Maine, such as contaminated soil, municipal solid waste, sawdust, and wood chips, although I do appreciate the information that Representative Sobolewski shared with us today. There are other alternatives, though, and we just heard about dewatering technologies and sludge drying practices that could be used before landfilling as well. So we hope that Casella will work with us to clean up our waste stream and create incentives to reduce the amount of waste that needs to be landfilled. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. Any questions from committee members? Representative Sobolewski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ma'am, you mentioned in your testimony about importing waste from out of state. Mm-hmm. We take our sewage sludge out of the country.
Yeah.
So how do we reconcile and balance that? We don't want to take it in, but we'll give it to someone else.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you for raising that. I had a little note that I wanted to mention that, Excel, because that's not something that we would advocate for either. We don't feel that we should be dumping our problems on New Brunswick. Ideally, we will take PFAS out of the equation entirely. That's our goal. And we will have nutrients that we can truly recycle safely and back into the environment. But we are so far from that, not just with PFAS, but with many other contaminants that are in the sludge. We don't believe it's right to dump them on other countries.
Thank you, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. Representative Campbell.
Thank you. Thank you for testifying. It's great to see you here. You've been here for many of the bills and many, you've heard the testimony. I find it hard to reconcile the fact that we don't want all this stuff, but we don't want time to be able to engage and do it correctly. Mm-hmm. Can you reconcile that for me?
I think that we've heard a lot of testimony today that suggests that we can do it correctly, or we can do it better without pushing pause for another 2 years.
Okay, I haven't heard that, but okay, thank you.
Representative Sobolewski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ma'am, Agra Energy brings in 20 tons of food waste a day in packaging, labeling, with PFAS. Have you had that discussion, the same discussion with them about them bringing in waste with PFAS in it?
I'm not sure. I mean, PFAS is around us. PFAS is in everything. I don't deny that. I'm not sure what you're getting at. We're advocating.
Well, you were talking about the PFAS that's coming in the out of state construction debris that we mm-hmm. take in, and how dangerous it is to be putting in our landfill. And we're taking it at Agra Energy as well. So I was just wondering if you had an opinion on that.
Yeah, I think that my comment in my testimony was that landfilling PFAS waste is not a great solution. It's the best of bad solutions that we have. The goal should be to get PFAS out of the equation. So I'm not sure what answer you're wanting.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
Yep. Other folks here to speak in opposition? Welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me. My name is Peter Blair. I'm an environmental attorney and the policy director for Just Zero. A year ago, the legislature overwhelmingly voted in favor of an important and necessary law, one that prevents the state-owned Juniper Ridge landfill from acting as a dumping ground for thousands of tons of harmful out-of-state waste. This vital law will both extend the life of the state-owned resource as well as protect the public health of the communities surrounding it. It's important to remember that this law was not rushed through the legislature. Instead, it went through a robust process that included not only a long and arduous public hearing, but several work sessions. Additionally, while the law was enacted in April of 2020, it did not take effect until February of this year. This is to say Casella had ample notice and time to prepare for the changes that this law would have on their operation of the landfill. It appears that Casella chose a different option. Casella has essentially manufactured a sludge crisis and dramatically increased the cost of sludge disposal for the wastewater treatment facilities across the state. If enacted, this bill would be rewarding them for their malfeasance. Landfilling industrial and wastewater treatment plant sludge is not a new concept or an unknown management practice. States across the country have been landfilling this material for decades. In fact, the US EPA finalized the current regulations on landfilling this material over 30 years ago. During both the March 8th hearing and in subsequent written materials, Casella has continued to insist that this out-of-state waste is the only material they can use for stabilizing and bulking agents. In fact, they admitted to ruling out numerous other alternatives, both in those hearings and as well as today. They've cited two primary reasons. First, using these materials would come at an increased cost to the company. Second, several of suggested alternatives are not available in sufficient quantities. As it's been mentioned, it's important to remember we are talking about a waste company that is increasingly a monopoly. Casella has recorded record profits year over year. Passing this bill is not rescuing a fragile local business. You are succumbing to the bullying power of a waste juggernaut. Additionally, while Casella has ruled out individual alternatives to out-of-state construction and demolition debris and oversized bulky waste, they do not appear to have considered an evaluation of using multiple alternatives. There is no law, regulation, or reason that a landfill operator needs to exclusively use one material to stabilize or bulk. I know I've looked at the state regulations and the laws. Additionally, oversized bulky waste is not considered an industry standard. It's not referenced in any law or regulation as a proper management mechanism for this material. When considering the array of materials that are commonly used to stabilize and bulk sludge, in light of the materials that are being sent to the landfill at this moment, as well as the materials the department has worked so hard to identify, it's clear there are ample options. Moreover, Casella does not appear to have talked about dewatering or drying. The wastewater treatment plants certainly have, but it does not appear that Casella, who is responsible for managing the sludge, has discussed this option, which would significantly reduce not only the volume of sludge, but the need to bulk and stabilize it in the first place. Halting the application of this law would effectively reward Casella for failing to utilize more than a two-year period to develop new ways to manage this material. Moreover, there is nothing in the bill that will ensure that Casella, the department, or other stakeholders work to find a long-term solution. Essentially, you would be allowing Casella to kick the can down the road without any assurances that the problem would be solved. I'm happy to answer any questions you have. I urge you to vote ought not to pass.
Thanks so much for joining us. Any questions from committee members? Representative Sobolewski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Sir, Casella does not want to admit it has plenty of materials at hand to use as bulking stabilizing agents. What agents are you referring to?
So if you refer to chart one in my written testimony, that is the standard bulking agents that I found These are what landfills commonly use.
Table one here.
Table one. And then if you look at the next table, that is what went to Juniper Ridge in 2020. Highlighted in yellow is the materials that could be used as a bulking agent. This is the material that's already being sent to the landfill right now. Obviously, it's changed. That's 2020. We're now in 2023. But it does appear that that would make up the 25,000 deficit that they've described.
Where do you find coal oil and multi-fuel boiler ash?
I find numerous instances of ash, which again, I went through several state regulations and laws, and they mostly just say ash. They leave it up to the operators to figure out what is the best bulking material.
But I mean in Maine, sir.
In Maine, if you look at the chart, there's highlighted ash in multiple instances.
With locations?
No, this is just where it's coming into the landfill. This is what they bury every year, or at least they buried in 2020.
Right, so but what I was saying is, where do you find it in the state of Maine? Where's coal and oil ash in the state of Maine?
I'm not sure where it's coming from, but clearly it's being disposed of in that landfill.
But we don't know if we have it here.
The report would indicate that it's available.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much for joining us. Any other folks here to speak in opposition?
Good afternoon, Stacey Brenner, Representative Gramlich, and members of the Environment and Natural Resources Committee. My name is Dana Callahan, and I'm co-executive director of Slingshot. I'm testifying in opposition to LD 718, an act to increase the beneficial reuse of construction and demolition debris. A year ago, we celebrated when the legislature and governor passed a bill that closed the egregious loophole that has allowed for Maine to become a toxic dumping ground for the Northeast. In many ways, this bill was a culmination of almost two decades of grassroots community organizing. We decided at long last to put our communities first. However, LD 718 threatens to throw it all away and once again open the floodgates to out-of-state waste. Since the state's purchase of Juniper Ridge in 2003, the landfill has been rapidly filled with toxic out-of-state waste. This has required repeated expansions, which has brought the landfill's total capacity to over 20 million cubic yards. That's equivalent to 114 solid Empire State Buildings. LD 1639 closed this loophole to preserve landfill capacity for the benefit of all Mainers. However, LD 718 stands to once again allow for over 400,000 tons of out-of-state waste to get dumped in Maine. LD 718 rolls back protections to our health, our safety, and our environment. I know there are serious concerns about the best way to manage our sludge. However, LD 718 is not the answer. Landfill operators around the country and across the state utilize numerous other materials, as Peter Blair just articulated. Casella has enough in-state waste that could be used as stabilizing or bulking agents without importing trash. I am more certain of Casella's mismanagement of Juniper Ridge landfill than I am of the need to pass LD 718. By refusing to adequately prepare for the implementation of LD 1639, by refusing to explore other stabilization options, and then refusing to accept sludge, Casella is shirking responsibility and holding Maine's wastewater treatment plants hostage. We cannot forget that Casella makes a profit off of the importation of out-of-state waste, and that they're seeing an increase in their profits this year. And I also just want to mention that, you know, Resource also articulated how they have been preparing for this since LD 401, and Casella has not followed suit. At the core of this continues to be an environmental justice issue. A polluting company is profiting from the destruction of an environment and at the expense of the Penobscot Nation and the surrounding working class residents living close to Juniper Ridge. The landfill not only threatens the drinking water for the area, but also sites of historical, cultural, and spiritual significance for the tribe. These communities bear the biggest burden and yet have been systematically excluded from the decision-making process. Old Town residents were repeatedly denied requests for hearings when Juniper Ridge was licensed back in the early 2000s, and the Old Town municipality was stripped of any right to regulate the landfill, and the Citizen Advisory Committee has been excluded from any meaningful decision-making. Rolling back 1639 would be just one more unjust decision on top of a history of disenfranchisement. Passing LD 718 would be a slap in the face to the Penobscot Nation, to Don't Waste Maine, to everyone who has worked to pass this critical legislation to protect our communities and environment. We cannot go back. We hope you hold strong to your commitment to protect our communities and our environment with a resounding ought not to pass. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. Any questions from committee members? Representative Sobolewski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ma'am, you do realize that nothing changes in the body of 1639. All that the 1639 does is put a 24-month pause on it while the professionals figure out the best way to deal with this. Nothing changes.
What changes that is that it once again allows for waste to be brought in from Massachusetts, processed at resource, and then get utilized at Juniper Ridge landfill. So it is changing the fact that what the purpose of LD 1639 was trying to do was preserve landfill capacity. And so we're not doing that by allowing over 400,000 tons of out-of-state waste to go to Juniper Ridge.
Follow up, ma'am. Thank you, Madam Chair. And what's your thought on us taking our sewage waste into Canada and giving it to someone else?
Oh, I am very much against that. I've said as such. I do not think that is the adequate solution to be dealing with our sludge either.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks.
Any other folks here to speak in opposition?
And I was going to say good morning, but good afternoon, Senator Brenner, Representative Gramlich, and members of the Environment and Natural Resources Committee. My name is Nora Bosworth, and I'm a staff attorney with the Conservation Law Foundation Zero Waste Project. CLF opposes LD 718. We urge the committee to stand up for Maine's vulnerable communities and natural resources by opposing this bill. The enactment of LD 1639 was a critical success for the state's advancement towards sustainable waste management and environmental justice. It protected Maine from being the dumping ground for the rest of New England's rejected waste, much of which was construction and demolition debris that has been largely restricted from landfilling in Massachusetts and was filling up Juniper Ridge. CDD is dangerous as it contains chemical additives and is likely to generate harmful leachate. 1,600 Mainers signed a petition in support of LD 1639 with strong support from the Penobscot Nation, who has been unjustly harmed by the poisonous leachate discharge from Juniper Ridge. The asserted justification for rolling back LD 1639 is that the landfill has now become unstable due to an increase in sludge and thus must be stabilized with the residue of the poisonous materials other states do not want. But out-of-state CDD is not necessary to stabilize Juniper Ridge. There are a wide array of alternative methods, as Peter Blair has shared, used by landfill operators across the country that would stabilize the sludge without reopening Maine to a toxic stream of out-of-state CDD for two more years. Such solutions include wood chips, ash rail ties, all of which the DEP proposed to Casella when they stopped accepting 40% of the sludge Juniper Ridge had been receiving. During this time, the DEP's Director of Remediation Waste Management stated, "Casella appears to keep finding reasons for not using the materials we keep finding for them." The purported necessity of LD 718 stems from Casella's refusal to utilize the numerous other methods of sludge stabilization that would obviate reliance on importing more toxic waste. Casella has acted in bad faith to prioritize their bottom line, and LD 718 is a product of this bad faith. LD 718 would perpetuate environmental injustice, endanger drinking water, and the communities living near the Juniper Ridge landfill, and keep us from achieving our waste management goals. CLF urges the committee to oppose this bill, and we thank you for the opportunity to submit this testimony.
Thanks for joining us. Any questions from committee members? Not seeing any. Thank you. Anyone else?
Good afternoon, Senator Brenner, Representative Gramlich, and members of the ENR Committee. My name is Sarah Woodbury, and I am the Director of Advocacy for Defend Our Health, and I am here to testify in opposition of LD 718. LD 718 once again opens up Maine to becoming the dumping ground for the rest of New England. We have heard claims from Casella that this out-of-state bulky waste is necessary to stabilize a landfill due to increased sludge disposal. They have increased costs on municipalities across the state that they claiming that they need these funds for increased trucking costs to truck the PFAS-contaminated sludge out of state. When in fact, Casella's profits have gone up over 12% in the first quarter of 2023. That 12% is being made on the backs of all Maine taxpayers who have seen their sewer rates increase over the past few months due to this manufactured crisis. And Casella has stated publicly at a meeting that I was at with Representative Sachs, by the way, with the Representative Casella, Clark James, that they are not using those increased fees for trucking costs, but rather to market their PFAS contaminated compost to other states with more lax environmental regulations than Maine. We have heard over and over how the increase in sludge due to the passage of LD 1911 is needed for the lack, because of the lack of out-of-state bulky waste has led to destabilization of the landfill. This makes little sense considering most of the landfill in the state was already being landfilled before the passage of 1911. After the contamination of Stone Reach Farm became public in 2019, the department halted the spread of sludge until it tested for PFAS. When DEP tested the sludge for PFAS, over 95% of the sludge exceeded the department's screening levels for at least one of the three they tested for. Data reported to the reported by Casella shows no increase in municipal sludge disposal at the landfill since the passage of 1911 and 1639. There was a large increase in sludge in the landfill in 2019 and 2020 when the DEP standards first went into effect, but from 2021 to 2022, sludge disposal only increased 6.1%. We understand the frustrations of the wastewater districts. They are being put in a tough position and need solutions. It's unfortunate the only solution that the landfill managers are willing to even consider is pushing this legislation to overturn good public policy to help line their pockets. The voices of the communities that live near Juniper Ridge and are impacted by this legislation have been largely ignored. Once again, this is yet another example of frontline and Indigenous communities being brushed aside for the sake of corporate profits, an all too familiar story. We urge the committee to protect these communities, not corporate profits, and vote ought not to pass an LD 718.
Thank you for your remarks. Any questions from committee members? Representative O'Neill.
Thanks, Madam Chair. So this is a one that I don't think we've talked about today. So you're saying back in March of 2019, Casella had notice of the fact that there would be testing and that behavior would have to be adjusted.
For the sludge, you mean? So it wasn't Casella that was notified because they're not the ones that create the sludge. It was correct. Wastewater treatment facilities that were notified that the sludge had to be tested before it could be land applied. And when that testing started, over 95% of the sludge tested above the state screening standards. So they began landfilling it at that point. Some of it went to Casella's Hawk Ridge facility, which turns it into compost. And I use that term loosely because it's basically just sludge in a bag so that they can market that to other states that would allow it to be spread. But for the most part, most of it went to the landfill. And I apologize. I've shared with the committee previously a chart that kind of has their sludge disposal levels. I can resend it. I forgot to It was a busy evening. I forgot to attach it to my testimony, but I'm happy to send it along.
Senator Carney.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony today, and especially thank you for connecting the dots for me on the remarks that Casella made at the meeting that you and Representative Sachs attended. I was having a hard time understanding that, but the context.
Yeah, it was at a Freeport Sewer District. I'm a resident of Freeport, so okay. I attended the meeting.
And I didn't realize it was for marketing the dried sludge.
Yes.
But my question is really about sludge disposal at Juniper Ridge. So do you have, I know you referenced an attachment, but do you know what the tonnage was of sludge disposed in each of those years, 2019, 2020? Is that what's in the attachment?
Yeah, it's done by month for the past. Okay. Yeah, so I can resend it. They average around 60, the numbers, if I'm recalling correctly, and I might be a little off, around 66,000 tons. So seems to be around the average, but I can resend that chart. So, okay. And those are numbers we got directly from Casella's website.
Okay. And then you also referenced to the fact that there was a slight decline in oversized bulky waste.
No.
During what time frame was that?
Just after I think the law went into effect was my understanding. It went down about 3.9%, but that's, also probably some of that is probably cyclical because the law actually didn't go into effect until February of this year. So.
Okay. I don't have any other questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Carney.
Representative Gramlich.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Ms. Woodbury, for being here. I'm wondering if you could describe what on the work that you've been doing with Defend Our Health. I know you've been in the forefront along with many of us in the legislature to address PFAS and PFAS contamination. Could you please describe what would be safe levels of PFAS? And if you have any information about why other states are continuing to use unsafe levels?
Sure. The thing about PFAS is that the levels are going to vary according to each PFAS, and there's about 14,000 of them. However, the two that are most commonly found in sludge are PFOA and PFOS. There's a lifetime health advisory on those from the Environmental Protection Agency, which is 0.004 parts per trillion for PFOA and 0.02 parts per trillion for PFOS. I will say the state screening standards for sludge that were put into place before we banned it, that were put into place were 5.2 for PFOS, and that's parts per billion, and 2.5 for PFOA parts per billion, of magnitude higher than what has actually come out of the EPA in recent years. So as we find out more about the health impacts of PFAS, the lifetime health advisories keep going down. The EPA is in the process of setting some drinking water standards, which are lower than what we currently have. And the state screening standards for the PFOA and the PFOS were created using the federal government's drinking water standard at the time, which was 70 parts per trillion. Maine's has already been put down to 20 parts per trillion. So this 5.2 and 2.5 is already of magnitude too high for public health. So I would argue that there's no safe level of PFAS and sludge that would be considered safe to put on our farmland. In terms of what's happening in other states, Maine's had some very brave farmers come forward when they found PFAS contamination to talk about it. That has not happened. And we've also required that testing to be done here at the state. Other states are so far behind us on that. That's the reason we're not seeing them step forward. It is going to happen. Some of the other states are in the process of looking at sludge. Like, there's no real other place for us to put it. So I think Casella has levels that they'll accept it up to. If I might be misspeaking, they can fix that. But Those are high numbers. We don't want them put anyplace else. And that's also why the leachate issue at Juniper Ridge is so important, mm-hmm. and that we figure out a way, and that they should be treating the leachate before it's sent to Nine Dragons or other wastewater treatment facilities to get that PFAS out to protect the public health of the communities downstream.
Thank you. I just wanted to make sure I was understanding the numbers correctly.
Yes, for sure.
And that I'd love to be able to just kind of tease that out with additional information, if I may, for the work session. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for mentioning the Nine Dragons. I wanted to follow up with you on that too, because it seems like we've heard disputing accounts of whether or not the leachate is actually being treated to remove PFAS. And can you clarify that and provide maybe a little bit more background information
so it is not.
We can all understand it?
Yeah, they are not. So currently, last session, we worked on a bill that turned into a study, LD 1875, and the original intent of that bill was to require the leachate coming out of Juniper Ridge landfill to be treated before it was dispersed, because what happens is that leachate runs off, it gets dispersed to a wastewater treatment facility. I think I heard someone say Nine Dragon might have been shut down. But at the time, it was going to Nine Dragon. Some of that leachate would get put back into the sludge. Some of it would be going to the effluent, and effluent is discharged into the river. And so that leachate was not treated. It was not treated at Nine Dragon. It was not treated at Casella. And so it ends up in the river, and that impacts our indigenous communities downstream who depend on Penobscot River for sustenance fishing, just for cultural purposes. It's, you know, it's an area of great importance to them. And there was actually a study done with the EPA and the Penobscot Nation on PFAS in their fish. And there are high levels of PFAS in the fish in the Penobscot River. And part of that can probably be attributed to the effluent coming off of Nine Dragons, because that stuff is not treated for it's treated for other stuff, to be clear. They treat it for heavy metals. There's all sorts of stuff that the wastewater treatment facilities have to be treated before they can discharge effluent into the river. PFAS is not one of them. The state is currently having different wastewater treatment facilities test their effluent to try to get a handle on how much is ending up in the rivers across the state so that we can try to set some sort of safe standard, but currently there is not one.
Thank you for that additional information.
Representative Sobolewski.
Thank you very much. Madam Mayor, I suggest that if we're going to take numbers into consideration, that we get as a subject expert from the CDC to give us expert numbers on that, the comparisons between parts per billion, parts per trillion, so on and so forth. We get a pro in here to do that. Thank you.
I think it's appropriate for the committee to ask folks that are testifying questions and for them to answer. And then if you want follow-up clarity from the department, we can certainly always ask for that.
I agree it's appropriate to ask questions, but verification on the answers. 70 PPT, was it not? way it was. 70 was PPB. It didn't switch to PPT until it became 20.
No, it's so 70 parts per trillion for
so
both.
I just went through this with an expert. And so that was it.
70 parts per trillion for both. I'm happy to Google and show you right sitting from right here. So 70 parts per trillion from the feds and 20 parts per trillion from the state. If I said PPB, I apologize for misspeaking, but it's parts per trillion.
Thank you.
Okay. Did you have a question or that's okay. Representative? No. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You. Anyone else here to speak in opposition?
Good afternoon.
Did you want to hand your testimony to Marianne? She'll pass it out to us.
I've come, first of all, thanks for your patience. I've come with a cover letter, and basically I've come with a set of documents that I just want to make available to the committee.
Okay.
My name is Paul Schrader. There's the cover letter. I only came with 14 copies. I know that I should have come with more. I hope that everyone who needs one will get one. I've been involved in observing this Juniper Ridge, formerly West Old Town landfill process since 2004. And I was part of a group of people in the very early days who put together a set of documents and published them on the web. That was our attempt to find out really what was the situation when this landfill was being converted from a private paper company sludge dump or mill waste site into a multi-purpose state-owned landfill. The documents I'm going to give you today are results of what we found through our inquiries way back in 2004 and 2005. And I'm just going to hand these 14 copies over to your staff to distribute. I think that these documents came from public sources, and each one of them has a commentary that was put together by our group of investigators and publicists. And I'd like to suggest that you might want to read these as a kind of a detective novel. And this, what I'm providing you here today, the 2004 and 2005 segments, are kind of setting up the mystery of how we began. And got to be where we are today. So I'm just inviting you to take some time, review these at your leisure, I hope before the work session, and just accept them as an attempt to provide background for the process that we're in today. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Any questions from the committee? Seeing none. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Anybody else here to speak in opposition to LD718?
Thank you. Good afternoon, Senator Brenner, Representative Gremlich, and members of the Environment and Natural Resources Committee. My name is Beth Ahern, and I offer testimony on behalf of the Environmental Priorities Coalition. The EPC, as it's affectionately known, is a partnership of 37 conservation, environmental, and public health organizations who unify around a common agenda every year. The EPC represents over 120,000 members in Maine who want to provide the good health, good jobs, and quality of life that depend upon a healthy environment. LD 718, an act to increase the beneficial reuse of construction and demolition debris is a defensive priority of our coalition this year, which means we do not want this bill to pass. And I passed out written testimony, but honestly, what I've written has been said by my colleagues, and so I will not waste your time and repeat it, but I will answer any questions that you have for me.
Thank you so much. Any questions from committee members? Representative Gremlich.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Ms. Ahern. Just looking very quickly, I know you've been in the building for a few minutes.
Very few. I started when I was a child.
Yes, I know. And we're so glad. So then were you working in the building on behalf of your organization at the time when this landfill arrangement and agreement was negotiated back in 2003 and four?
I was in the building, but I was not working on this. In fact, most of us weren't. I believe that the only organization, unless NRCM was, and I didn't know about it, but CLF, Sean Mahoney was involved with it.
Okay. Is that right, Pete? That's okay. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Anyone else here to speak in opposition of 718? Whenever you're ready.
Okay. Good afternoon, Senator Brenner, Representative Gremlich, and members of the committee. My name is Sarah Nichols, and I'm the Sustainable Maine Director for the Natural Resources Council of Maine, and I appreciate this opportunity to testify in opposition of LD 718 as proposed to be amended by the sponsor. Senator Brenner is handing out my written testimony, which I'm going to try to shorten to help move things along here, but I also included my favorite landfill stabilization report. I feel like it reads really well for the layperson to understand the different ways that sludge can be stabilized in a landfill. And so you can read that tonight before you go to sleep. So I guess I'll start by saying NRCM understands that the sponsor's amendment is intended to help address the sludge disposal problem faced by our towns. However, the proposed delay would amount to a major financial gift to Casella Waste Systems that is far beyond any policy change that may be necessary to stabilize the sludge at Juniper Ridge. Casella is a multi-billion dollar waste company with soaring profits that clearly doesn't want to let go of the revenues from importing waste or incur new expenses by operating the JRL landfill in a fashion consistent with the interests of Maine people as reflected in Maine law. We believe that Casella is exploiting current concerns about sludge disposal to undermine Maine law and maximize profits, and it's using Maine's towns to help the company overturn the law. In February, Casella's representatives attempted to explain the reasons for their failure to foresee how sludge management at JRL would need to change following the passage of LD 1639. And here I just wanted to take a moment to pause that I agree with Representative Sobolewski's comment earlier, that something I've learned through this experience is when we're passing major legislation like this that require major changes of profit driven companies, we have to lay out specifically what they need to do in order to comply with the law, because we cannot count on them to do it on their own. So I agree, we probably should have, in hindsight, included a little bit more handholding, and this is specifically what you will do to comply with this law. And this is a lesson learned to me. I'll include that in all major legislation going forward. So the truth is that there are more ways to stabilize sludge in a landfill than with old couches from Massachusetts. The company did not make alternative arrangements to accommodate the loss of out-of-state stabilization materials. They had plenty of time to do it, and they refused solutions that were presented to them by DEP. Casella's obstinance was further illustrated in an April 20th, 2023 Bangor Daily News article describing the frustrating exchange between state officials and Casella that the paper obtained after public records request, and I've attached a copy of that article to my testimony for your reference. We are sympathetic to the wastewater treatment plant operators who have little choice but to accept rate increases imposed on them by Casella. We also understand that the state has essentially no control over how the state-owned landfill is managed. And we acknowledge that landfills must safely stabilize sludge by mixing it with a minimum amount of other waste, and that each type of that waste has pros and cons and costs associated with them. But we know that the proposal before you is optimized for Casella's interests and not for the interests of Maine's people or communities. And further, we firmly oppose weakening the recycling standards at one of Maine's solid waste processing facilities as is being proposed. This would be inequitable and move us further away from reaching Maine's recycling goals. So I will stop there and just urge you to reject LD 718 as it's being proposed for all these reasons. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Nichols. Any questions for Ms. Nichols? Senator Carney.
Thank you for being here and for your testimony. I know you were deeply involved in 1639 and also that you spend a lot of time thinking about solid waste mm-hmm. in Maine. And I was wondering if you could reflect for us a little bit what, as far as the impact on the capacity of Juniper Ridge, what passing LD 718 as it's in its current proposed form, what the impact would be on Juniper Ridge and the capacity of that landfill?
All right, thank you very much for the question. Thank you for sponsoring LD 1639. So my immediate thought when I saw the proposed amendment was that this was opening the floodgates back up to out-of-state waste coming into Juniper Ridge. It varied from year to year, but basically it's about, like you said earlier, 235 or so thousand tons of out-of-state waste were going into the landfill. That's about a third of the landfill's capacity. So to me, that's very significant. So this would allow at least that much to go in there. And when you compare that to what Casella's stated need was of 25,000 tons of OBW specifically, that didn't seem to be the solution to that particular problem. And perhaps if there was to be a change, it should be a bit more surgical in its approach.
And so if 718 as proposed is passed, is there anything that would prevent Casella from importing even more than 235,000 tons of solid waste from out of state into the landfill every year? I mean, could they actually accelerate?
I would need to go and remind myself what the different capacity levels for each type of waste they can take in. I heard earlier that I think it was Casella, they're maxed at 85,000 tons of OBW specifically, but they have other thresholds for different types of waste. And the concern to me is the two ways that the out-of-state waste was going into Juniper Ridge was really through this oversized bulky waste from Resource and the CDD fines. That amounted to about 100,000 tons in 2020. I just took a peek. So it was a lot of it was coming from the fines. So I guess I'm worried. I don't know what that threshold is, but they could max that out and any other types of waste that was going in. But I think that those were the two.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions for Ms. Nichols? I'm curious, just in follow-up to Senator Carney's question, just more specifically, you could share your thoughts about what she had presented in her testimony all those many hours ago this mm-hmm. morning relative to the exception piece with the 25,000 tons.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I guess I share the sentiment expressed by Senator Carney and Ed Spencer earlier that it kind of breaks my heart to even consider that as a possibility. But I think considering the situation that you all are put in and Casella's refusal to consider other options besides oversized bulky waste from Massachusetts being funneled through Resource as a solution to the sludge crisis that they've created, I think that if you all wanted to allow for a minimum amount, that 25,000 tons to come in per year to solve this problem, then that needs to come with a lot of contingencies, like that needs to be, that's the verified, that's the amount that you all believe that they need. And I think it should happen annually. I think it should happen, you know, and I think that there should be just a lot of verification that goes along with that. I think it could possibly be done with a waiver process for the department to waive, given that kind of information. It doesn't need to be set in statute that that's what's going to be allowed. I think that it needs to come with a guaranteed reduction in fees paid to towns or charged to towns. And I'm not sure exactly how you do that in a statute, but one idea I had as I was sitting here today was maybe there's a new disposal fee that could be attached to such waste, and that the revenue from that fee could be used to directly pay to towns. So that fee could go to the state and then the state could pay back the towns, because I don't believe that a wink and a handshake from Casella is sufficient to guarantee that towns would actually save money from this change. Yeah, and I think it needs to be specific to OBW because that's what they're saying their needs and not extend to other types of waste.
Thank you. And then in terms of the potential delay of recycling standards for resource, do you have any thoughts about that in terms of practically how that would play out or have an impact on the bigger picture?
Right. I definitely don't support that rollback of those recycling standards whatsoever. And I think I was surprised to hear earlier representative from Resource say that there's no way that they could provide this material to stabilize sludge unless those standards were rolled back. So the BDN article that I referred to, they did a public records request and they got exchanges from Resource and Casella to the department. And in one of those letters, dated Thursday, March 2nd, I believe Senator Carney may have handed it out earlier, they Resource officials say that they could provide the amount of tons they needed as of 3/6 without doing anything. They said, we can provide this 25,000 tons of OBW, not from our main facility, but from our other facilities in Massachusetts and New Hampshire. And it could just go straight from those facilities already processed to Juniper Ridge. So I don't see why we would have to allow for their recycling standards at the main facility to be impacted at all by this, if that's in fact where they're going to get the material from.
Where was that information? I'm sorry, did you reference it in your testimony?
I didn't in my testimony. I believe Senator Carney mentioned it this morning.
Okay, I'll get my hands on it.
Okay, so yeah, and I can forward it to you too. I contacted the BDN for access to those.
Thank you. Representative Campbell.
So did I just hear you right? You want Casella to bring in processed product or waste from Massachusetts, but not waste to process in Maine for the landfill?
The question was about that Senator Carney's proposal this morning to allow for 25,000 tons of out-of-state waste to go to the landfill in order to stabilize it. And I'd said that I would be supportive of that idea with a bunch of contingencies placed on it. And so that could potentially come from the other facilities in Massachusetts and New Hampshire. It doesn't have to actually come from the main facility. Resource has facilities all over New England in different places. So it's still that same company that they're just getting it from the other facilities, not the main facility.
I'm asking you about product, not the company. So you'd allow the product to come from Massachusetts, but you wouldn't allow the product, or you don't want the product to come to Maine to be processed in a manufacturing to go to the landfill. So you're talking about bringing, you're suggesting, or you referred to product that's come from Massachusetts, but you won't process the waste that comes from there, where Maine can make some money on the processing.
I think I understand your question. The facility in Lewiston, Resource, I don't believe that Maine makes any money off of that material. That's Resource that makes money off that material.
It's a business.
Yes. So the state of Maine, but I thought you were asking me if Maine
creating businesses in Maine.
Business in Lewiston, they don't do a lot of recycling there currently. They're going to with this new law, and they've done a lot to really enhance their facility to reach higher recycling rates, and I applaud them for that. But historically, their business model has been to take waste in from out of state, grind it up, and send it to the state-owned landfill. That is their business. That's what they manufacture, are CDD fines and residue. And they send, and pretty much for the express purpose of sending that to the state-owned landfill to be used for engineering purposes.
So you prefer the jobs to be created in Massachusetts and not in Maine?
No, that's not what I prefer. I'm just saying that is where they say that they can source the waste without changing anything at their main facility and impacting any jobs or anything at the main facility. That would continue just as they're doing now.
Senator Carney.
I just wanted to, I'll try to turn this into a question, but I wanted to clarify for Representative Campbell and also for Sarah Nichols. The point that I was making in my testimony was that if we have to choose between totally throwing open the gates and bringing in 235,000 tons of waste from out of state, or we can accept the minimum, which is 25 that we're being told we need, the 25,000 tons that are already processed. To me, if we're looking at how do we protect our state, that's a clear decision. We go with the small number that we need rather than kind of opening the gates and going back to square one. And I'm sorry for any confusion that I caused. Isn't it so? Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Representative Sobolewski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You used the term open the floodgates. Mm-hmm. You do realize this is a 24-month pause, like I was saying earlier, and there is no change to the internal workings of LD 1639. It's not floodgates. It's a pause while we figure it out and fix it. You realize that, right?
I understand what the proposed amendment would do. Yes, thank I do. You. I guess I would characterize it differently than you would. Yes.
Explain it, please. It's a 24-month pause. The only thing that's changed in that bill is dates. So how would you characterize it differently?
So the landfill operator has indicated that they only need 25,000 tons of oversized bulky waste. Mm-hmm. The amendment allows for much more than 25,000 tons of bulky waste and a potentially unlimited amount. I don't know exactly, but a lot more than that.
Senator Carney, we talked about that. Is the making an amendment to that, right? Yeah, yeah, I do. I just want to make sure I'm clear. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Would you ask the senator for me, please, then, if I heard that correctly, that we were going to make an amendment to 25,000 tons for the 2 years in a row? I thought that's what it was.
Could you answer that question for him, please?
Whoops, sorry.
I suggested in my testimony in opposition to LD 718 that if the problem we have is that we need 25,000 tons, that we should just accept 25,000 tons and that we should not revert to a status, to the former status quo, where vast 10 times that amount was coming in.
Thank you, Senator. That's what I thought I heard. I just wanted to confirm that.
Okay. Any other Representative Campbell? Okay. Any other questions? Thank you, Ms. Nichols.
Thank you.
Anybody else here to speak in opposition? Anybody else here? Let's see here. I don't know what we have on Zoom. Is there anybody here that wishes to speak in support? We'll go back over to support. Anybody? Come on up.
Environmentalists.